Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato jaya mudiraye. Nashta prayishava vadreshu. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke. Bhakti bhavati nashtiki. This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3. Yamaraj instructs his messengers. We have verse 5 on the board, so we can read. It's kind of dashing past verses 1 through 4, so we may back up to those. Yadi syur bahavo loke. Yadi syur bahavo loke. Shastaro dandadarina. Shastaro dandadarina. Tasya syatam navakasya. Kasya syatam navakasya. Mrityuschamritamevava. Mrityuschamritamevava. Others. Yadi, if, syu, there are, bahava, many, loke, in this world, shastara, rulers or controllers. Dandadarina.
Dandadarina.
Who punish the sinful men. Kasya.
Kasya.
Of whom. Syatam.
There may be.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Ba.
Ba.
Or. Kasya.
Of whom.
Mrityu.
Distress or unhappiness.
You may have thought mrityu means death, right? Well, that's a form of distress and unhappiness. Cha. And. Amritam.
Happiness.
Eva.
Certainly.
Va.
Or.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. This verse is being spoken by the Yamadutas, and they are questioning Yamaraj. If in this universe there are many rulers and justices who disagree about punishment and reward, their contradictory actions will neutralize each other, and no one will be punished or rewarded. Otherwise, if their contradictory acts fail to neutralize each other, everyone will have to be both punished and rewarded. Purport. Because the Yamadutas had been unsuccessful in carrying out the order of Yamaraja, they doubted whether Yamaraj actually had the power to punish the sinful. Although they had gone to arrest Ajamila following Yamaraj's order, they found themselves unsuccessful because of the order of some higher authority. Therefore, they were unsure of whether there were many authorities or only one. If there were many authorities who gave different judgments, which could be contradictory, a person might be wrongly punished or wrongly rewarded, or he might be neither punished nor rewarded. According to our experience in the material world, a person punished in one court may appeal to another. Thus, the same man may be either punished or rewarded according to different judgments. However, in the law of nature or the court of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there cannot be such contradictory judgments. The judges and their judgments must be perfect and free from contradictions. Actually, the position of Yamaraj was very awkward in the case of Ajamila because the Yamadutas were right in attempting to arrest Ajamila. But the Vishnudutas had baffled them. Although Yamaraj, under these circumstances, was accused by both the Vishnudutas and the Yamadutas, he is perfect in administering justice because he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he will explain what his real position is and how everyone is controlled by the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead. So ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Now let's back up to the beginning of the chapter. King Parikshit said, "O my Lord, O Shukadev Goswami, Yamaraj is the controller of all entities, all living entities, in terms of their religious and irreligious activities. But his order has been foiled. When his servants, the Yamadutas, informed him of their defeat by the Vishnudutas, who had stopped them from arresting Ajamila, what did they reply?" Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that although the statements of the Yamadutas were fully upheld by Vedic principles, the statements of the Vishnudutas were triumphant. This was confirmed by Yamaraj himself. So, the Yamadutas had been questioned by the Vishnudutas in the previous chapter. So, on what basis are you arresting Ajamila? And they answered, Veda Pranihitam Dharma. We are following Dharma, which is established in Veda. And Veda is spoken, it originates in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what they were saying was correct, and this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying. But they're being overridden by the Lord. And the key verse in this chapter that's going to confirm how this is possible, or why it's like this, is the famous statement in verse 19, Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The word pranitam is interesting. It means to declare, it means, but it also means to enact. It is enacted. So what is Dharma is established by the Lord, and it's also enacted by the Lord. What the Lord does, that is Dharma. And that's being elaborated in all of this section. The entire story of Ajamila is about really the enactment. In this case, Vishnu, the Vishnudutas are agents for this purpose of the enactment of Dharma. Next verse. O great sage, never before has it been heard anywhere that an order from Yamaraj has been baffled. Therefore, I think that people will have doubts about this that no one but you can eradicate. Since that is my firm conviction, kindly explain the reasons for these events. So the order of Yamaraj is unassailable, but here it seems that it's come under question. When Maharaj Yudhishthir is questioned, is riddled, in the Mahabharata about what is most wonderful, what is the answer? Ahanyahani bhutani gacchantiha yamalayam shesha stavaramichanti kimascharyat ata param. He says, day after day, ahanyahani bhutani, all living entities, gacchanti iha, they go to yama alayam. They go to the place of Yamaraj. Shesha stavaram icchanti kim ascharya ataparam. And all the rest of us who are still here, what do? We desire that we will stay here. This is wonderful. This is amazing. There are many moments of amazement, of wonder, and of surprise in this section of the Bhagavatam. There's no purport to this verse. Verse 3. Now Shukadev speaks. Shukadev Goswami replied, "My dear king, when the order carriers of Yamaraj were baffled and defeated, by the order carriers of Vishnu. They approached their master, the controller of Samyamani Puri, and master of sinful persons, to tell him of this incident. And then verse 4, the Yamaduta said, "Our dear Lord, how many controllers or rulers are there in this material world? How many causes are responsible for manifesting the various results of activities performed under the three modes of material nature, sattva-guna, raja-guna, and tamaguna?" Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraja, were so disappointed that they asked their master, almost in great anger, whether there were many masters other than him. Furthermore, because the Yamadutas had been defeated and their master could not protect them, they were inclined to say that there was no need to serve such a master. They're losing faith in their guru. If a servant cannot carry out the orders of his master without being defeated, what is the use of serving such a powerless master? Whoa. So this is some serious questioning going on. It says, Prabhupada says that they're questioning almost in great anger. I think that's very interesting. And it reminds me of one of the major themes of the Bhagavatam, and that is that in any attitude, in any mood, one can approach the Supreme Lord. This is one of the points that's being made in the 7th canto and the 10th canto with regard to Hiranyakashipu, with regard to Shishupala, that although they're approaching the Lord inimically, they become liberated. And one can say, not just although they're approaching, but they're approaching with emotion. They have some feeling. They're not indifferent. They're not apathetic. The worst situation, the worst mood for someone to be in is that of apathy, of indifference. So here we have the Yamadutas angry. They've been sent out by their master. Go get that rascal and bring him back here. And now they've done this. They've tried, but they found themselves overruled. And they're, you could say, understandably, they're coming back to Yamaraja and saying, "What's going on here? We thought you're the only one in charge, and now it seems like there's someone else in charge." And this theme, of course, comes out throughout the Bhagavatam, particularly in Canto 2, when Narada Muni approaches his father, Lord Brahma, and he questions him about his position of authority, and then Lord Brahma explains to him, "Actually, there is someone above me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And that leads into the Chaturshloki of the Bhagavatam, the essence of the Bhagavatam, aham evagram evagre nanyat yat syat asat param, something like that. In this verse 5, we have that same verbal form, syuhu, which is the subjunctive form, technically, of the verb to be, which is buhu, yadi syu. In this verse, what if it would be as it's starting to look like to us? It's starting to look like there are many controllers And we're worried about that. If that's going to be the case, then the whole system is going to break down. What is the system? The system of punishment and reward. This is the concern of the Yamadutas. They've been trained up. They are servants of Yamaraj, so they understand the world on this level. Yes, day before yesterday, Hari Sori Prabhu very nicely explained how there are different levels of reality, and one of the amazing features of this whole episode is the kind of opening up from one level of reality to a higher level of reality to the higher level of reality. And this process we are witnessing. And on this level of reality of the Yamadutas, they're thinking only in terms of punishment. Shastara danda dharina, they say. Shasta, from Prabhupada explains, the shas datu, which means controlling, to control. So shastara, plural, rulers or controllers, danda dharina. Literally, a holder of a danda. If there are many sannyasis, what's going to happen? Too many swamis spoil the yajna? No. How does that go? Too many swamis spoil the kirtan? I don't know. Anyway, so danda dharin. Here, those who punish the sinful men, Srila Prabhupada translates. So, literally, those who hold the rod of chastisement, rod of punishment. The Yamadutas are thinking in these terms, and this is the only way they can understand reality. This is all going to be dashed by the instructions of Yamaraja. He's going to open up their vision. And of course, this is what has happened with Ajamila. His vision is being opened up. And again, as Hari Sori Prabhu explained, the way it was opened up is very wonderful, that he was the witness to this discussion, this debate between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. So that what otherwise is possibly would not have penetrated his consciousness, his bewildered consciousness, goes right through because he's witnessing this amazing event. Okay, so many people see religion in such terms. It's all about, well, it's based on fear. It's based on fear or based on desire. So based on fear, then what is the fear? The fear is the fear of punishment. What is the purpose of punishment? What is the idea of punishment? Why would someone be punished? What's the ultimate aim? Rehabilitation, or what's another word? Correction. Yes. In America, they sometimes use that term, correctional institute, for a prison, or they have a juvenile correctional institute. Interesting phenomenon happening in America now is that many of the so-called correctional institutes are being handed over to private companies, because the government is finding they can't manage them so well. So private companies, and what means private company? It means they want to make profit. And what does that mean? That means the more prisoners, the better. And so a really kind of scary situation is happening where I was seeing an interview with one teenage girl who had been in some such correctional institute for, I think it was some months, And she, what was her fault? Some minor offense she had made in the school. And then she was taken before a judge, and the period of time that she had in the trial was something like 3 minutes. And it comes out that these judges are being encouraged by these companies to judge in such a way that will be beneficial to the company which is running the correctional institute. That is what is happening in our so-called modern civilization, as Prabhupada called it. So on this level of understanding, there cannot be understanding of Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma is what the Bhagavatam is about, and that is what is being illuminated. That's what's being revealed throughout the Bhagavatam, and in a very particular way in this particular pastime. And as we mentioned, there are some surprises here, and I thought we could reflect for a few minutes on surprises in the Bhagavatam. Thinking of Mother Yashoda and how surprised she is when she looks into the mouth of her little son, Krishna. She has been told that Krishna has been eating dirt, and she feels inclined that she needs to correct her son. Don't eat dirt. And so he, on her insistence, opens his mouth. And what does she see in his mouth? She sees everything. Not only does she see everything, but she sees herself. And she sees her situation. And she realizes, as she is being given this vision, this universal form of the Lord within the Lord's mouth, she reflects. She says, here I am thinking I am the wealthy wife of a very successful husband, Nanda Maharaj, and I'm thinking that all of this in Raja is going on in such and such ways. It's interesting, she is suddenly realizing, I'm thinking in material ways, but who is this who is reflecting? It's Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda is not, she is an eternal associate of the Lord. There's no question of her having any material thought. And yet she feels prompted to think, I'm thinking in material ways. This is not good. Anyway, and she says, all right, close your mouth. And she goes on being as she always is in her mood of devotion to the Lord. In the Bhagavatam, Yudhishthira is also surprised. He's very surprised when he witnesses how Shishupal has had his head sliced off very cleanly by the chakra of Krishna. But that wasn't so surprising. What was surprising was what happened immediately after that. What happened immediately after that? The spark of the soul, the Atma of Shishupal, went into the body of Krishna. What? How is that possible? No, that can't be. He's just been insulting him like anything. Krishna has been counting the insults. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100. Okay, that was enough. He had his blessing. 100. He had that promise. The mother of Shishupal had the promise. He can insult me 100 times and I will do nothing. So 101 times, okay, that's enough. So Yudhishthira was very surprised. How is this? And because he was surprised, he asked a question to Narada. How is this possible? And that leads into the whole seventh canto, the explanation. So similarly, Yamaraj is being asked by the Yamadutas. They've been surprised. And so they're asking, and this is a very significant prompting for questioning. This can be an impetus for questioning what is the truth, what is reality. Sometimes we are surprised by things that happen in our life, sometimes little things. We're happily surprised to meet someone that we haven't seen in a long time. Sometimes we are surprised in a way we'd rather not be surprised. Dvaite badra badra gyan shab manodharm e balo e manda e shab brahm. So our surprises, happiness, distress. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that that's all brahm. That's all a big mistake. But, okay, there are surprises, and then there's something else. There's expectation. We could say expectation is the opposite of surprise. We expect certain things, and some expectations lead to disappointment. And then what happens? Anger. There's another kind of expectation which we are recommended to cultivate. Tate no kampan susamikshamano bunjana ivatma kritam vipakam kritvak favurbir vidadam namaste jiveta yo muktipade sadaya bhag. We are urged to expect the mercy of the Lord. But is that the kind of, is that an expectation? Is that a demanding expectation? No. Susamikshamana, in patience. Anticipating. It's not the kind of expectation of an authority to get something from a servant, for example. No. It's the expectation of the servant that I will get the mercy of the Lord. I expect the mercy of the Lord. Why? Because He is by nature merciful. And that is Bhagavad Dharma. And that is the Dharma which Ajamila becomes the benefactor of, despite all of his disqualifications. All of his disqualifications, countless disqualifications according to the Yamadutas, they don't add up to the one qualification which he has, and that is somehow or other he has chanted the name of the Lord. Somehow or other, he has chanted the name of the Lord, and that name has penetrated through all the layers of the universe. It has penetrated through all the layers covering the heart. Same thing, really. And the Lord has heard. When we chant Hare Krishna, what are we doing? We are calling, O Hari, O Hara, O Krishna, O Rama. We're trying to pierce through all those layers. So Yamaraj is the benefactor of this Bhagavad Dharma, despite the unlikelihood, or because of the unlikelihood, because the Lord wants to show even the most unlikely person can be the recipient of the full blessings of the Lord. Hare Krishna, we have 5 minutes according to our strict schedule here. I should have expected. Janavi Prabhu, yes.
Who becomes the Yamadutas, and what karma do you have to take, I mean, to become a Yamaduta?
Where do you sign up to become a Yamaduta? They're referred to in one of the verses here, later in this chapter, as Kinkara. Kim Kara means servant, and the literal meaning is Kim, what, Kara, do. So a Kim Kara is one who asks the question, what should I do? So someone who has that inclination to become, to execute the will of Yamaraja, that person can become a Yamaduta. Anybody here want to sign up for that? That's as much as I know, sorry. Yes. Somehow I missed. Please,
pious.
How they get rewards? How do pious persons get rewards? Okay, so you're saying, well, we're hearing about punishment. How do pious people get rewards? It's all part of the same process. Whether it's Yamaraja's agents. In this verse, it says, Mrityu cha amritam evava. The commentators explain that another way of understanding is, how is it known who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? That's the question in this verse of today. How is that going to work out if, you know, we have different authorities? The final authority, and this is the whole point, is Krishna. Is Lord Vishnu, and he has his ways, and that's ultimately, when you get down to how karma works, you try to analyze, you know, the mechanics of karma, you don't get very far, because it's very mysterious, and it's so complex. That very quickly you come to the point, all right, it must be under the Lord's control. That's all I can understand about it. It's under the Lord's control. So, how someone who acts piously gets reward, he gets reward, or she gets reward, by the overall system, you could say. Reward is there. So there's no worry, but there is worry, because you're going to get reward, and you're going to get somewhere along the line, if one keeps on that level, it's going to be accompanied with the rewards that we get. There's always going to be some small print in the contract, you know. In the big print, it says, you know, you will be rewarded with this and with that and with the other thing. And then there's the small print, and you will pay a price. That's the thing. So Yamaraj, he's involved in all of this because of the small print, you could say like that. Yeah. Yes, Mataji. Yes. Yes.
When you read about the Yamadutas who address the Lord Yamaraj with anger, almost with anger, I thought that this is not just that, like giving him the benefit of a doubt.
That the Yamadutas are giving the benefit of the doubt to Yamaraj. Oh, I see what you're saying. Almost in great anger. Okay. Yeah, I think Prabhupada's point here is that if it was kind of pure anger, then they would not be open. They wouldn't be able to even ask their question. They would just say, "Huh, what kind of a ruler are you? We quit." And that would have been it. But because, you know, they did have respect for him, they were sort of restraining their anger because they wanted to also hear from him. And this reminds me, incidentally, of there's a somewhat similar situation when in the Rasa Panchadhyaya, the five chapters of the Rasa Rasa Lila. When Krishna disappears, afterward he comes back, the gopis are, they're a bit, maybe angry is not the word, they're peeved. Peeved? Yeah, something, they're kind of like, come on, Krishna, away. So, but it's, you know, they want to hear from Krishna. They want to hear his explanation. There's these different kinds of lovers. So, you know, which one are you? What kind of dealings are you showing us? So that seems to be what's happening. Okay. Yes. Anybody?
If can that be translated in relationship between guru and disciple, and like if a disciple feels, and how where that guru parad is there also, if you can just elaborate.
Okay, that gets into a bigger discussion, but it's an interesting parallel, and I would say that from the perspective of the guru, a sincere guru of a sincere disciple will appreciate that the disciple is expressing their doubt. It may be in the form of some anger, frustration, whatever, but at least the disciple is opening up and asking, you know, what's going on here? So that's a good thing. And that can actually lead to a strengthening of the relationship between the guru and the disciple. Sometimes that relationship may be tested, and then if the disciple just turns away and that's it, you know, what can the guru do? But if the disciple then says, Guru Maharaj, now you've really put me in a spot, I don't know what's going on, I don't even know if I can believe you anymore. Okay, let's talk about it. Then that's good. Good thing. Okay, I think we'll start. Is there? Yes.
At the beginning of the class, you mentioned that the Yamadutas have established that religion is for the Vedas.
Yes.
The Vedas emanate from the Narayana.
Yes.
I was wondering how is it that the Yamadutas didn't know that there was a superior authority in Yamadutas.
Good point. They seem to already know if they're saying it's the Yamadutas who said the Vedas emanate from Narayana. So then, but what they're not understanding is that, first of all, they're understanding Veda essentially in terms of Karmakanda, right? So they're looking at the system of authority as Narayana gives Veda, gives Dharma, and now we, and then we have Yamaraj, and now we're executing the order which is coming like that. But what they're not understanding is that Narayana, being the source, he's also beyond Veda. He is also overriding all the order which is coming in Veda, and therefore Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Paritya, you know, just put all of that aside and just surrender to me. Yeah. So they know, but their understanding of that situation is so limited, you could almost say they've forgotten. But they also don't understand what it means that the Lord is the source of Veda. They've heard that, you know, Yamaraj maybe tells them. You know, they've had their class and they had their exam for qualification to be a Yamaduta, and they passed, you know. Said, yes, the source of Dharma is the Veda, and the source of Veda is Narayan. But that's as much as they understood. Kita Nagri. Please, yes.
Yamadutas are
Oh, okay. You become a Yamaduta if you are not the recipient of the Shraddha ceremony, or Shraddha ceremony. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, thank you. Right. Yeah, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Enforcing Vedic rules, right. Yes. Thank you. Interesting. So there you go with you. Okay, thank you all so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande.